I think this moment in time is going to encourage us all to question assumptions, start radical experiments, and look for other peers that can inspire us along the way.
By now, with knowledge workers sheltering in place and doing their jobs from home, the joke about how hard the commute was from the dining room to the den has gotten a bit old. The internet and the cloud technologies to serve people working from home have been around a while, obviously. But according to a variety of sources, fewer than 4% of workers were involved in a program at their companies to primarily work from home. Because of the pandemic, the work from home experiment is on. And fascinating questions abound. How are the technologies working? Is remote working working? How much of it will stick after the shelter-in-place orders are lifted? To chat about this, we turn to Gene Meister, founding partner of Future Workplace. It's an HR advisory and membership organization. They offer courses to HR professionals. They also do research. I started by asking the most obvious question, which is how the coronavirus is affecting work. Gene said Future Workplace had just conducted a poll, and here is that conversation starting with her explanation of the survey that she did.
We called it the impact of the coronavirus in the workplace. It was a short poll, about 15 questions, and about 350 heads of HR talent and learning completed it. And we asked them questions on how are they dealing with the coronavirus in their organization. So the first finding we were very interested to find out was, what about remote working, right? Well, it turns out now that 90% of knowledge workers have either been mandated or encouraged to work remotely. And this is around the world, right? And if we step back and look at how has remote working fared over the years, right? It has grown in the last 5 years, according to the Flex Job site and the Global Workforce Analytics site. This has grown about 44% over the last 5 years, but it's still a small percentage of the workforce. So we asked those companies, okay, now you're forced to do remote working. How are you dealing with this? And more than half said it's caught them off guard. And the first thing they're doing is focused on training both remote workers and managers of remote teams on some successful strategies on how to be a remote worker. You know, I don't think it's taken off as much as it should, because I don't think companies have really focused on the support that's needed for both the employee and the manager of remote workers. And so our survey asked, well, how are you training your employees? And we found out they're doing a number of things, right? They're offering online training for remote workers and their managers. They're starting employee resource groups, which normally happen in person in companies, and these are being done remotely. They're really encouraging very frequent manager check-ins with remote workers and looking at giving remote workers a lot more support. For example, support on how to set up your physical and your virtual workspace, right? And then finally, one of the leaders in the space is Microsoft, and they just created a guide called the Guide for Working from Home During the Coronavirus. And this was designed for people that are remote workers for the first time. It's being complicated by the fact that remote workers may have their spouse, partner, and often children working at home. We now have, I think at last count was 52 million children in K through 12 also joining their parents in working from home. So we think training has been the stumbling block, as well as guidance on how frequently to communicate with your remote worker teams.
So if you break that down a little further, are you talking about something that's kind of more policy-based in terms of the issue there, or is it a technology issue? How do you think those factors add up?
Well, I think that there are a number of companies that had never worked remotely before and were forced into it. The barriers to remote work, number one, the biggest barrier is a cultural one, right? That barrier being FaceTime equals productivity. So I think you have to get over the cultural barriers. Then you have to train employees and managers about some successful strategies. And then you have to put some policies in place on what your remote working policy is. Is it you can work at home 5 days a week? Do you go to hub cities where there are concentrations of employees and maybe do that 1 or 2 days? So what is the policy? And then finally, you have to really communicate the policy, because when we asked this remote working question, we were really surprised to find out that about 25% of the respondents didn't know if they had an official remote working policy before they were mandated to be a remote worker, like before the coronavirus. So companies haven't been clear in communicating what their policy is. They haven't trained their employees or their managers, and they haven't really understood how important remote work is also tied to the well-being of the workers. And I think one of the things that stands out when I look at some of the leaders of companies that have done remote working well, they've also tied it into well-being and offered meditation and mindfulness classes online. While companies may be doing this on site, they really have to replicate that whole series of an emphasis on well-being and self-care to the remote worker, because one of the biggest issues with remote workers is employee burnout. You can really burn out much faster because you can basically work 24 hours a day, you know, if you wanted to.
Yeah. Yeah. That has got to be one of the big pitfalls that you immediately encounter when you do remote work. I think what's interesting is how working remotely in some ways has not depended upon the technology as much as it's been a cultural issue, because some of the companies in Silicon Valley that make the tools for remote working don't have scores and scores of remote workers. I wonder if you could comment on this idea. How much of this is cultural and how much of it is technology? What's your sense of what's going on there?
Well, I think until recently, the focus has been on the space, and companies have invested heavily, especially the tech companies, on making a very comfortable space for workers, with gyms, with free food, with massages, with, you know, just name the amenity and they have it. And they felt that, you know, this will encourage more collaboration on site. I think now that we've, you know, are all forced or mandated to work remotely, I think we're going to see a surge in remote working. I think workers are going to really say to themselves, you know what, I got so much done during this time. And they're going to question the time they spent commuting and getting to the office. And so I think this will create the serious effort for companies to develop the policies, train the workforce, and create the right set of tools, technologies, and well-being so that you can thrive as a remote worker.
Well, what would you be doing now? Let's say you're the head of HR of a major company and you're seeing the data coming in on the remote workforce that you suddenly have because of this pandemic. How would you be using this data to make future decisions on your remote workplace policies?
Well, I'd certainly want to do a pulse poll on the workers and segment them by their level of experience with remote working. And I'd also like to do a poll of the managers who manage global remote teams and really segment those by managers that were fairly comfortable in managing remote teams before the coronavirus, and then managers that had never, you know, basically managed remotely, but were forced into it. And to look to, you know, do a voice of the worker survey with both of those segments to understand their feedback, what worked for them, what they still need to be successful as remote workers or managers of remote workers, and what tools, technologies, and equipment will they need to enhance their success working remotely. I then want to do some polls on, you know, sort of general polls with Flex Jobs and Global Workplace Analytics. Those are two sites that constantly manage remote working, and to look at this on a global basis and how's the coronavirus impacted the percentage of people that continue to work remotely, let's say in 2021, right? I really meet with the HR team to understand what can we do better to support our remote workers and look at the policy we have in place and how we want to revise and communicate that policy going forward.
Well, I want to revisit something from your virtual Future Workplace Summit, which in itself was a response to the pandemic because you went online with that rather than doing it face-to-face. So you said that the world of work will never be the same again. What did you mean by that?
Yeah, well, exactly. I did say that. I think, well, a couple of things. Number one, I think that many of the trends that I've been studying, you know, and researching and writing about regarding the future of work, and trends like remote working, trends like reskilling workers, trends like the purpose and role of an organization, they are all going to be accelerated. With remote working, I think forever, a worker and a manager is really going to question before they get on that plane, is it necessary to travel to achieve success? FaceTime will no longer be a measure of productivity. I think we're going to question all our business assumptions. Should we travel? Is travel necessary? The second business assumption we're going to question is, how do we communicate and collaborate with our teams and how frequently? I think that the role of a leader is going to be reevaluated, right? And I think that one of the big trends we're going to see is an increase in the experiments for using artificial intelligence in the workplace will surge as some companies have layoffs and AI will come in and take over a lot of what were routine tasks. And now humans will be working increasingly with bots as a new team member, and leaders will really create a new role for themselves that'll be much more strategic and leverage many more of their unique human skills for problem solving and critical thinking. We asked in the survey, how could the coronavirus be advantageous to your business? And the largest percentage of HR leaders said, we're going to rethink everything about our business, our practices, our products, and our services. And the other thing they're going to be rethinking is who we hire. We've had some experiments with companies that are doing skills-based hiring, which means they're saying you can interview for a job here. You don't need to have a four-year college education. I think that's going to be also exploding. For those companies that are hiring, they're going to find out they have a unique set of skills and they're going to search the globe. If you have the skills, capabilities, and achievements to prove you can do the job, you'll have a chance to interview. So I think all the future of work sort of leading practices about where we work, who we hire, who's on our team, how frequently we interact with our team members are going to change forever.
Well, you know, Jean, there have been comparisons of the pandemic to 9/11 in terms of our behaviors, like business meetings canceled or, you know, meetings being done on conference calls. A lot of that happened after 9/11. I did reporting on that for NPR. But it seems to me that there are stark differences, because right after 9/11, working from home meant taking a bunch of work from the office and taking it home to work on. It just seems like today people are working at home, collaborating in real time with colleagues, and in many ways they really haven't missed a beat. What do you think? Is that a fair statement to make?
It's a really fair statement, and I think you're absolutely right. Work from home after 9/11 was exactly that. You put your papers in your backpack or briefcase and you went home and took the day off, right? and worked from home. And I think we're going to see work from home, you know, like work from home on Fridays, or it's no longer a perk. It is the way business will get done. And it's cheaper, it's faster. And I'm going to go out on a limb and say, and I think you have the opportunity to communicate with all your employees at much more frequently because it's easier.
Yeah, that's a really interesting point. Because, you know, Zoom must be seeing a ton of demand right now. And, you know, even other technologies like virtual desktop infrastructure technologies, desktop as a service, you know, helping IT departments get apps and data to people wherever they are. Because it seems like the pandemic has exposed the technology industry in a good way, that we have to go into lockdown and look, here are these tools that can help us get our work done no differently than if we went into the office. And, you know, maybe we don't have to all lose our jobs. So how much do you think technology has been a barrier to advancements in the workplace? And how much do you think it's helped?
Well, I think that there's been resistance, if you will, with a lot of issues around privacy and security. And I think that the IT and HR have to work much more closely together to come to a shared vision on what's the technology stack that's needed to make remote working successful.
Right. And, you know, it comes to mind that this technology stack that is starting to come into place that enables remote working is more than just sharing docs. It is, you know, a lot deeper than that. And there are a lot of ramifications that could come from this. And I guess that's what your job is to look at that and to try to understand what that future will look like.
Yeah, I think the sort of final thought here is I feel very strongly that all this talk about the future of work has focused on automation causing job loss. And I think that going forward with all the stress and anxiety that we have in the workplaces, the future of work will focus on the future of worker well-being. I think that companies will not only focus on training for technical skills, but will holistically look at the whole person and offer a lot more directed to enhance the well-being of the worker and the worker's families.
Jean Meister is the founding partner of Future Workplace. They're at futureworkplace.com. The organization is currently offering a course called Using AI for HR to Enhance the Employee Experience. This is the Tech Barometer Podcast. I'm Jason Lopez. We've got more podcasts and stories for you at The Forecast. And you can find us at theforecastbynutanix.com.